This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Mom. Today I'm going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, teaching kids to think for themselves. This is episode 152, and I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, which is K12.com. K12 is an online school, and you can find more information at K12.com. And we're going to hear a little bit more from our sponsors later on. Be on the lookout. We have a birthday celebration coming up every month of October. We celebrate a birthday of our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and we are giving away hundreds of dollars in cash and prizes and prizes. And so you'll want to be sure that you are on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network email list. So if you're not, please sign up and we'll give you more information when we get to that event. And as long as you're an email subscriber, you will get all kinds of goodies as they come along. We have our Mommy Jammies Night monthly. That is so much fun. It's the second Tuesday of every month, typically. If it isn't, you'll get a notification and we'll let you know if the date has changed. But it's at 9 o'clock, and it's a chance for moms to get out and get a little bit of R&R and get out a figure of speech there. It is a stay-at-home event. You're just going to be tuning in on your computer. So excuse the little faux pas there. I wasn't thinking Mommy Jammies Night is an in-your-home event. I sit here in my office upstairs in my home and host the event to people from all over the world. So it's really, really fun. So today we're going to talk about teaching kids to think for themselves. And if you've heard any of my past radio spots or even the Ultimate Homeschool Expo that I did host for many years, you will know that this is something that is very important to me. And I wanted to go through a few foundational things today. Just had a conversation with a friend, and she was telling me that she doesn't think her child thinks at all. And the reason for her saying that was because her child had made some bad decisions. And so our kids do think. Sometimes they do think very well for themselves, and other times they need a little bit of direction. So I'm going to go through 10 points, or what I call foundational points here, on helping your kids to really think for themselves. And the first is, number one, is giving them a good foundation. How do you give your kids a good foundation to make these decisions? And it starts when they're really young, with all of the things that we can do and surround them with. And the first thing I would say in giving your kids a good foundation to think for themselves is to unplug. That is foundational. It is something I hold to a very high standard. Do we have a television in our house? Yes, we do, but we have one. We don't have TVs in every room. As the kids have gotten older, some of that has changed. But we didn't even have cable for the first 7 years of our kids' lives. And if it was totally up to me, we would not even have a television in the house. But I am kind of subject to what my husband wants to do. And so he appreciates having a television. A lot of my kids will say to you that they grew up in a bubble in some ways, and yet they have done very well acclimating as they've gotten older and, into the stream of society, if you will. My daughter's biggest complaint about going to college was that she didn't know some of the television shows that they were talking about, some of the nuances of some of the, you know, rock and roll stars, or some of the music. And if that's the worst thing that happens in your life, then I think you've done, pretty good, parents. I know I sound like I'm, patting myself on the back here, but when my daughter saw Evil, she knew it was. She had a class that she actually dropped in college because the professor was being very explicit with the book, A Streetcar Named Desire. And so she came home and said to me, I cannot stand this class. This lady is, you know, completely off and I can't be there. And the professor was shocked she dropped the class because she dropped it with an A. And it was too late to get our refund for this class. However, the other kids in the class were impacted by my daughter's decision because they sought her out and said, you know, the professor told us that, I guess she was so shocked that my daughter dropped, that she made a comment to the class, and a lot of the kids came to find my daughter to ask her why, and she gave her reasons. And while they disagreed with her, they were really amazed that she found it offensive. And I think giving your kids a good foundation, really having your home set up, not so much as a bubble, and my kids are being sarcastic when they say that, but having only good things in your home so that your children will know what good, that good is good and evil is evil. The second is teach them the definition of worldview. And again, this is when they're a bit older. But what is a worldview? How do you look at the world? And I'm going to give you a really fun activity to do with older and younger kids. But that is the second, is look at what a Christian worldview is as opposed to a secular worldview. What is a worldview with God? What does that mean? What does it mean to follow the Lord? Another one of my daughters, I have two, just sent me a paper that she turned in for college, and it was a humanities paper. And in that paper, she did discuss how she looked at the world through the lens of God. And that helped her set her, you know, sights on things that were higher than what the world, you know, could offer. And I thought that was really a great paper. The third is give your kids colored glasses and have a discussion. And this is also, you can do this in conjunction with number two, giving them a definition of a worldview, is how do you look at things? And if you give your kids, different sunglasses, and you can find them tinted different colors, but you can do the rose colored, the pink and the blue and the green if you can find them. And just have your kids take turns putting on the different lenses and looking around the house. Now take them to a window and have them look outside. It's amazing what colored lenses will do with sunlight. Some colored lenses will make the grass look like so beautiful, like you're looking through some kind of surrealistic painting where everything is just gorgeous. And that's the whole, you know, the rose colored glasses where everything just looks so beautiful and so wonderful. I remember putting on a pair of my husband's sunglasses when I couldn't find mine in Florida. You know, you almost have to wear sunglasses when you go out. And he had one pair of sunglasses in particular that I loved because that's how I felt. I felt like the world looked clean and beautiful and the colors were so vibrant depending on, you know, what color lenses I looked through. And, you know, you can have the kids do the same thing and looking through dark lenses, and you can make this analogy with them, you know, looking through lenses with different colors and then giving them, you know, some sort of a worldview, a Christian worldview, you know, perhaps a Muslim worldview, and then a Judeo-Christian worldview, and then a secular worldview, and even break them up. You can use the colored glass analogy even when you're discussing different countries and, different the political atmosphere in each of these, and discuss that. And having that analogy works with the younger kids. I've done it with my little ones, and It will at least put a handle to the terminology, because sometimes we talk about worldview, and I remember saying that one time in a dinner conversation with adults, and one of my friends, who's very educated, highly educated, looked at me and said, "What the heck are you talking about?" He had never heard that whole conceptual thing of a Christian worldview, and he had no idea what I was talking about, and I was shocked by that. So, of course, we had a really good dinner conversation. But, you know, it's not something you hear really a lot outside of homeschool circles, and you'll be surprised how you can help educate your friends, sometimes in a positive light. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you more of my points on teaching kids to think for themselves. K-12 believes every child is uniquely brilliant. So, to prepare them for college success beyond high school, they deserve an education designed for them. Learn more at k12.com/listen about enrolling. A child's brilliance comes in many forms. Some are curious, others inventive, or analytical. K-12 is a full-time, tuition-free online option to traditional public school. Taught by state-certified teachers, schools powered by K-12 provide an individualized education, enhancing your child's ability to succeed. K-12 programs teach to and embrace your child's unique brilliance. Students from K-12 powered schools go on to fine colleges and universities, enhancing their ability to succeed. Be part of the community of families who have succeeded with tuition-free online K-12 education. K-12 welcomes students for grades K-12. Visit k12.com/listen or call 855-628-9529 for more information about enrolling. That's k12.com/listen or call 855-628-9529. Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz in an episode of Teaching Your Kids to Think for Themselves. This is episode 152, and you can find the show notes over on Vintage Homeschool Moms. And just look for episode 152. Well, I want to thank you guys all for joining me today as we discuss teaching kids to think for themselves. I don't really need to go into the reason we want our kids to think for themselves, but we do want our kids to make the right choices, and we do want them to think. And I know a lot of times I wonder if, you know, kids think. I remember teaching a Sunday school class one time, and we were talking about faith and God, and we were discussing some open-ended questions, and one of the kids raised his hand, and he said, "Well, what's the answer to this question?" And I said, "What do you mean?" It was a personal faith type of question, you know, like, "What do you believe?" And this child is asking me what the answer is. And that was a long, long time ago, and it really stuck with me, and that was one of the reasons I was adamant in my home school that I was going to, you know, give my kids opportunities to be able to think for themselves, to make decisions, and to guide them. And the first couple of points I discussed earlier were giving them a good foundation, teaching them the definition of worldview, Christian worldview, giving them the colored glasses and teaching them how to look at things with different lenses and, you know, getting a perspective on things. The fourth is reading good books as a family, read aloud and discuss. When they're very little, we have a lot of, you know, the decision making and the responsibility for that. And we can decide what books we want our kids to read. Do we want them to read books that are full of the occult and, you know, witchcraft and things like that? Or do we want our kids to read good, wholesome books about families making decisions? Yes, they can be action adventure types of books, but they can also be have a, you know, a really good moral or basis for that. That was one of the reasons that my daughter and I co-authored the Truth Seekers Mystery Series. If you want to check those out, you can go to MediaAngels.com and look under the novels, or go to TruthSeekersMysterySeries.com. And I wanted, and so did my daughter, wanted books that had a good creation, you know, focus, but also were fun mysteries to read, and they are good for reading aloud. And so there's also literature books that go with that for discussion and accountability questions as well. And so by reading good books, we are training our kids in the way they should go in discussion and how to make those good decisions. The fifth is filling their minds with good things, garbage in, garbage out, as the saying goes. And how do we do that? Not only with the books we read, but, just what we allow into the home. I'm always shocked when I hear some of the movies that younger kids are allowed to watch. Just recently, we watched some of the action adventure movies that my kids could really have watched much younger. My youngest is 16 now, and I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old that, we watch movies together. And while they could have watched these movies when they were 13 or 14, we decided to watch them later on. A lot of it is because there was violence in it. It wasn't graphic violence. It was more, robotic types of things. So there's not a lot of blood and gore. But it is something that we decided not to, subject our kids to. And one of the rules that we had as a husband and wife, my husband and I came up with this, and I know a lot of families were shocked to hear this, and you might be as well, that if we couldn't watch a movie with our kids, then it wasn't worth watching, even for us to watch when they were in bed. And a lot of that is trying to keep our minds clear and focused and not cluttered with a lot of garbage. A lot of times we entertain ourselves with mindless things, right? We don't want to have to think or have a movie that's too deep that we might have to really think about, or even reading a book, that's way deep. I'm always amazed at how many friends, can't tell me the last time they read a good Christian nonfiction book, but they can tell me other books that they've read or book clubs that they're in, with whatever the flavor of the month is, that everybody's reading. And so sometimes we'll get into those, those seasons, if you will, of just wanting to be entertained instead of really stretching our mind. And so by filling our minds with good things, we are encouraging our kids to think. And again, whatever you watch or read or listen to, make sure you have time for discussion. Number six is explaining consequences. And as my husband says, allowing your children to fail. It's a formation type of thing. Do we let our kids fail, or are we always catching them when they're little? I feel like, we're just protecting them from killing themselves. How many times have you almost caught your toddler sticking something in a electrical outlet? Now the new thing is the electrical outlets are coming with protection because so many, kids are so precocious. I really want to use the word bad, but I won't. Well, I did it, right? I did it anyway. But they don't listen to their parents, do they? And so now they're having to come up with the thing, I think for liability reasons, I don't know. But, we have to explain the consequences to our kids. Obviously our older kids know, look, you stick something metal in the electrical socket, you're going to get electrocuted and it's not going to feel good. If you step into the road, you're going to get run over. There are consequences you can explain to little kids. But I want to share with you a story that was shocking to me, happened in my own home. I had a game, and I wish I could remember the name of it. But if I do find the name of it, I will put it in the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. This is podcast 152. But anyway, it was a game about consequences, and the little kids were playing, and they had pictures, and basically, they didn't even have to read that much. They could just roll this little dice, and there were little pieces that they moved around the board, and they had these pictures. And so the picture was of a policeman. And the question was, if a policeman comes up to you and says, your daddy sent me to get you, he needs your help, what do you do? And both kids, my son and my friend's little boy, said we would go. And of course, I'm like shocked. And I said, you would? And I said, tell me why. And they said exactly, you know, the opposite of what they should have said. And they said, well, because he's a policeman and I have to go with him. And I said to them, I go, do you really think that your daddy would send somebody else to come get you that he would need you? What would your daddy need you for that he would send a policeman? And they both looked at me and neither one of them had an answer for that. I said, do you really think that your dad would send a policeman? And the more times I said it, they finally realized that the answer was no. And I said, what if somebody was just dressed up like a policeman? And they, you know, they went, oh, no, that couldn't happen. I mean, they were probably, you know, around four years old, maybe. And that to them, that wasn't even something that they would consider. You know, they just would think, you know, somebody has a uniform and your daddy needs you. And so to them, it was, you know, something that was not beyond logic. And so we have to discuss these things with our children. And so, you know, from time to time, I would, and I, of course, I told my girlfriend and she was as shocked as I was. And, you know, you wonder how kids get abducted. You know, it's could be something like that. And so we have to be vigilant and make sure we cover our bases with our kids and say, look, you know, if we need you, we will come get you. But more than likely, that is somebody who's just bad and we don't talk to strangers. And then, of course, then we have the kids who won't talk to anybody or say hello. And then, of course, you know, they're the shy and awkward homeschoolers who won't talk to people. And I would rather have one of those, I'm sorry for those of you who don't agree with me, than one who is very friendly and says hi to everyone, especially when they're younger. Of course, you can work out of that as they get older. The number seven is giving them time to think. Probably should be number one, but when they're younger, they have a lot of time to think and play. And that's why play is important, and not just play to learn something, but just play time, just time to dress up, you know, to play with blocks, to experience things. I think so many times, and myself included, you know, I have a little background in education. Well, not a little background. I have an education degree with a certification in early childhood education. And I know a lot of times I thought, you know, if a toy comes into this house, it has to be productive and they have to learn something. But my kids, you know, always circumvented that anyway when they would play and they, you know, like to dress up. And my kids, the first two kids liked everything realistic. If they got a book at the library, it was always about some kind of animal. You know, the younger three were a little bit more open to make-believe, but not nearly as much as a lot of kids. I think my kids were pretty realistic. My grandkids are very good at the make-believe stuff, but all of that is good. It gives them time, you know, to make decisions, to think things through. And as high schoolers and middle schoolers especially, and even younger, I gave my kids some time that they had to pursue things that interested them. That didn't include, you know, video games, which we didn't have that many in this house, not something that I encouraged. Of course, it did creep into our home. You know, it was a time to think of things. My kids did things like created a catapult in the front yard one time, unbeknownst to me. They tried to build a bridge over the pond. They did a ton of things they thought, okay? And, you know, my son recently, my youngest, created a metal, I'll have to take a picture of it. I don't know if he'll let me, but if he does and gives me permission to do this, my youngest kids like their privacy. But he created this glove out of, he glued it to a glove, but it's this hand out of metal and it all the fingers bend and it is the most awesome thing. And I was, you know, really amazed by it. And I said, how did you do that? And he goes, well, you know, I talked to Dad, my husband is in construction. And, you know, we do have a lot of things around here that are conducive to building. But, you know, he said, you know, I'm really interested now in design and architectural engineering, or, you know, even just going into engineering. And I was again, amazed. My son has never thought about that. In fact, we were going into signing him up to take the SAT. And even a year ago, what he put down for his interest in majors from business has completely changed. And I think a lot of it is giving him time to think and giving him time to explore. My 18-year-old, again, giving her time to think and explore, she thinks she wants to be a marine biologist. So, you know, it's just fascinating to me how my kids have grown and changed. And a lot of it is having time to explore. Number eight, of course, is going back to, you know, the reading and the discussing, but having good discussions and family discussions. And when you have family discussions, there's a couple of rules, and these are the Gerwitz rules, and your rules may be different, but, you know, you cannot get angry or frustrated when you're having these discussions if your kids maybe don't agree with you or have some out there kinds of, not necessarily discussions, but ideas. And that is because you can have really good discussions and agree to disagree. But I always tell my kids, if you're going to, you know, maybe disagree, then you have to have a foundation. You can't just say, well, because I think it's a good idea. If you think it's a good idea, I want to hear the reasons why and not just because somebody said this, which, of course, you know, your kids are never going to say, yes, you know, I've decided that this is a good thing because somebody said it. But this happened, actually in our extended family, some things came up that were, you know, definitely not in agreement with the parents, and, you know, everything escalated to the point where, you know, the discussion went, not in a good direction. So you can have these discussions as a family, you know, of course, starting out when your kids are younger, if possible. And then, you know, as they get older, like I remember having a discussion with my own parents about curfew. My dad thought that I needed to come in at an hour that I wasn't really happy with. And that was at 10 o'clock. And this was even when I was in college. And so when I, you know, he always said to me, when you live in my house, you have to do as I say. And even after I graduated from college and had moved back home, this was his rule. And so, you know, we had our discussions about it and there was no changing my dad's mind. So, you know, sometimes if you have the discussions and even my, you know, reasoning fell short with what he wanted to do, but we were able to discuss it. And that's the important thing. Number nine is discussing the good, better, and best and God's version. What do I mean by that? There is so much out there that isn't necessarily a bad thing, you know? And so that's what I discuss with my kids. You know, like, let's say you're watching a video and it's a cartoon video of a remake of a movie, you know, and is watching this movie going to be something that is detrimental to your, you know, to your soul? Is this going to be something that's going to lead you down the wrong path? Are you going to renounce the Lord by watching this video? Very possibly not. But what is the good, better, and best use of your time? And that's teaching kids not only time management, but to make decisions that are good. And my son learned this the hard way, one of my children, in that watching, as we call it, getting sucked into, whatever it is, a video or, you know, I'm not talking about anything bad. I'm just talking about just time wasting, caused him to be late for something that was important to him. And so we have to look at these things and say, okay, so what are the consequences of your decisions? And that brings us to point 10, which is understanding your choices. You know, by making a choice to watch this video, you lost all track of time, and therefore, you know, even though you had nothing else to do, instead of doing something better or best in terms of your time, you know, this happened. And so understand the choices you make and the consequences that come with those choices. And, you know, you've explained consequences when they're younger, and then explaining it in the context of the choices you make takes it one step further. So I'll have these points that I discussed today in the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 152, and you can take a look at them now there or print them out. Listen, guys, take care. God bless. I am very passionate about teaching our kids to think for themselves. It is important that they have a good worldview and that we as parents can encourage them to be, you know, world changers. It only takes one kid and one step forward in the right direction to change others and their way of thinking. And so, you know, corruption is out there, and colleges have all kinds of wacko assignments, even Christian colleges, unfortunately. So we have to be vigilant, teach our kids to think and to stand up for themselves. And I pray that this podcast was helpful to you. Take care, God bless, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.